The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen, Clovis, what's up?
What's going on, man? Speaking of Debo, man, let me just chime in for 30 seconds. Debo, instead of complaining about the targets or the whatever, like, you know, we're going to have some issues with Grendel if he doesn't play. Might as well just put Debo at running back, man. He did it in 2021. Why not give this guy more touches? Problem solved. He won't complain.
We got five carries Sunday and 13 yards, Chris.
Yeah, 15 more touches will do if we're short on running. If Grendel doesn't play, maybe you give Debo as much touches as he wants.
How you feel about that, Shasky?
I mean, he just hasn't been productive this year. All the numbers are down. The touches, everyone's pointing like all the touches are comparable. He's on pace for the same amount of touches as years prior. Yeah, but his yak is way down.
Yeah.
And it just his overall yardage is way down. So the productivity is like slashed in half. So it's a combination of where he's catching the ball, the execution around him, his speed, him not breaking tackles. When was the last time you saw Debo break a couple tackles?
It's been a while.
You know, now, I also believe teams are keen on him. He's getting gang tackled a lot. That would go back to, like, it's very predictable when and where he's catching the ball. It's been a crummy year from the guy. And the thing I can't get out of my head is like, damn, man, you're really going to go out like this? Like, well, really, you're really going to go out this sad and this angry and this whole way? Like, man, dude, it just really sucks.
You know what's been underrated is that Brandon Ayuk has been out and Christian McCaffrey's been out. You talk about spacing. We always talk about spacing with the Warriors and the gravity of Steph, mm-hmm. having shooters out there and not having non-scores or whatnot. And like, you think about the small ball lineup on Sunday with Buddy Hield and GP2. They had enough spacing to get shots up, but spacing to get Jonathan Kuminga rolling downhill. Well, the spacing that Christian McCaffrey creates for Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, Debo Samuel has been a bit underrated. I think you look at the numbers last year in the offense, it was the perfect storm. Number one in the red zone, number one in yak. You know, you have four guys go over 1,000 scrimmage yards. And now you take that away, your red zone numbers are affected, and some of your top playmakers are affected. Now, Brandon Ayuk may not have had the season that he had, but Juwan Jennings is baller, right? But I don't know if teams respected Juwan Jennings the same way they respected Christian McCaffrey and Brandon Ayuk. And so I do think that's had an impact on Debo Samuel. With that said, when you pay a guy the money that you're paying him, you expect him to make some plays to step up here. So is it on Purdy? Because that basically, when you send a tweet out like that, and I do want to transition to the Warriors in a second, but when you send a tweet out like that, you kind of throw in the quarterback under the bus.
And you think
throw
it was the head coach under
the bus. Yeah, when you say, I'm just not getting the ball, that's a shot at Colin. That's a shot at Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I took it as both of them, I guess, not just one or the other. This is so unnecessary. But here's the thing, like, and this is where I guess I push back on your point is well taken on Brandon Ayuk and McCaffrey in the space. And his best season, Debo's best season, came when there was no Christian McCaffrey. And I believe Kittle played most of those games. He might have missed a couple in the 2021 season. And we know Ayuk started slow, but came on a lot as the season went on and was a better player down the stretch. I just don't know what the excuse is this year. There are so many teams that would die to have George Kittle and the running game as efficient as the Niners have. It doesn't matter who's back there. It feels like they're getting 4+ yards a carry, right? And so you do have some semblance of a run game. Yeah, I don't know if Juwan Jennings is getting what they call cloud coverage or bracket coverage from safeties and a guy pressing him, but he's certainly getting open and he's making plays. There are enough playmakers for Debo to go out there and make plays. I don't understand exactly what's going on.
Well, 2021 is a different year, right? Because the league hadn't really seen much of the Debo jet sweep. They saw glimpses of it in 2019. They saw glimpses of it during the COVID year. But 2021 was just an unbelievable season.
But they don't really run the jet sweeps this year.
It's not working. It hasn't really worked.
I know, but when they give him the ball, it 9 times out of 10, it's been him at right. Well, in the gun runs. It's like a gun run where he comes up alongside the quarterback, and then all the passes that he gets, like 9 out of 10 are on the edges, but they're not like screens per se. Those have been wiped out.
No, what I want to say though is when they have run a jet sweeps, and they haven't run it much because I don't think it's worked much over the last couple seasons. Teams are on that stuff, the jet sweep. I can't recall how many times people have called and said, man, stop running the jet sweep with Debo. The league's on it. So, look, man, the Niners are, and I want to know this from Niner fans. Forget the Debo tweets because I'm drama'd out. They're 6-7 right now. I can't deal with the tweets about not getting the ball, whether I'm getting by. I don't.
But isn't this what Kittle was talking about though? Before we go on, like, isn't this kind of exactly what Kittle was saying the day before?
I guess. So, did you have the Kittle sound? Could you play the Kittle sound?
Like,
you play the Kittle sound.
Because my big takeaway from Sunday is like, where has this been all year? Well, what the hell?
Well, the Bears. They haven't played the Bears all year.
Well,
that's how I feel. That's how I feel about it. How do Niner fans feel? Here's George Kittle after the game on Sunday.
I think the message was we need to play with more of a sense of urgency and play desperate because you just haven't really sensed that. And like, I've been on teams where it felt like, was it 2 years ago we were on an whatever, like 8-9 game win streak, whatever that was. And it literally felt like every play people were just scratching, clawing and fighting for everything. And I'm not going to call anybody out. Like we've all not taken a play off, but like, you know, just not fought our hardest on every given play. And that was kind of the message, like, guys, just put it all out there. Because we have the players, we have the playmakers, we have the play call, and we have everything to win games. But like, we have to do it out of desperation. And when you're playing desperate and you're playing like, hey, if we don't win this game, our season potentially is over. That desperation fuels guys in different ways. And it's just how you take that and how you channel that energy. And I thought our guys did a great job of that today.
Yeah, look, he's the captain of the team. The way I received that message was that they just haven't played button-up football. And has they played desperate? I thought they played desperate in Tampa Bay. It looked like desperation to me coming off the bye week. The Dallas Cowboys game was desperation. They played like desperation especially in that third quarter when they were down. They just haven't been consistent all season long. And so I don't know if that has to do with urgency. I don't know if George Kittle's calling on a particular player or whatnot, but it is what it is. They've been inconsistent this season, and they've lacked execution on both sides of the football. They've lacked execution of special teams. That's a unit that hasn't played necessarily desperate. They've just been beaten, and it hasn't been their year. But I don't know if he's calling somebody out. I'm not going to, and I think it's reckless to speculate that he's calling out George. Let's see Debo Samuel. He's calling out this player, that player, this player, that player. I don't know who George Kittle's calling out.
I'll speak for myself. I think it's, you don't need a microscope or a telescope to find out, like, Debo does this the very next day. It's like, come on, dog. Like, this, he may not have been talking about you yesterday, but this is exactly what I think he is inferring. Like, all the side missions and stuff. Like, everybody, just can we just play football?
Yeah, they're boys, though, man. Debo and George Kittle are boys, man. They're part of the Cabo clique. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if he's calling out Debo Samuel or whatnot. I don't think Debo Samuel has played desperate. He just hasn't played well enough. I mean, I saw a dude with urgency when the way he got at Tabor Pepper told me, he was like, look, it wasn't right that he did that to his teammate, but Debo was irate that they were missing field goals. He wanted to win.
Watching
that tells me that he wants it.
In the snow game, and he's not the only one. He just looked like he didn't want to be out there. And I'm just going off what I'm seeing through my television.
We had the big kickoff return in that game. He had the big kickoff return, and I don't know.
The slowest screenplay I've ever seen in my life. It looked like the guy had tennis rackets on the bottom of his shoes.
Guy hasn't played in the snow much, right? He's from South Carolina. He's playing in the SEC. I don't know. He hasn't played the snow much. But I don't know who George Kittle. I'm not even going to put words in his mouth. I don't even want to speculate that, who he's calling out or what he's calling out. I I think he was just sending a message to the team saying we got to play desperate because there are a lot of guys on this team that are now in positions to help this team win, and they haven't been there before. There's a lot of newcomers on this team. You got Dominic Pooney, who's a newcomer. He hasn't been around the block. You know, you got Malik Mustafa in the back end. He's a rookie. Tick Brown, you know, he's got a little experience, and he hasn't played well. Hufanga's been hurt. Obviously, Brandon Ayuk's hurt. Trent Williams is hurt. Nick Bosa's hurt. Javon Hargrave is out. I mean, there's a lot of dudes out of this lineup here. So I don't know if George Kittle's calling anybody out. It's just the message of that team meeting saying, we got to play desperate.
You know,
we got no tomorrow.
I'm thinking back to like that final season with Sherman and how frustrated you were with just some of the things that he would say and just maybe the way he was playing and whatnot. And like, I'm seeing, and I wasn't necessarily all the way with you, but now I'm seeing it with Debo, and it's like, God dang, man, like, what is going on? Why does this have to end so ugly? And it feels like this is ending very ugly, and it's souring what was a really, I thought, great 49er tenure.
Well, Sherman was talking about, how he's not going to be here because this guy's going to pay, that guy's getting paid. Debo's not pocket watching because he's got plenty in his pockets. and he was supporting a lot of guys who were getting paid. Debo's on point with a lot of these guys getting paid, you know? So it was a little different to me. And he's a homegrown talent. Richard Sherman came over from Seattle. I was always skeptical of that. And it was just a little weird. I don't know. I thought it was a little weird with Sherman or whatnot. And he just, that COVID year, being in Glendale, he was talking, I was like, damn, that's how we going to do this, man? We pocket watching already. We got six games left. You already talk about not being here next year? Can we get through the season first? Like, that to me was completely different than his Debo situation. Now, I'm reading reports from people who think, executives that think that Debo's not going anywhere. They think he's going to be back on his team. So I have no idea.
I've been hypothesizing just in my own head, like, okay, where's Brandon Ayuk in the rehab process? Is he even going to be ready for the beginning of the year? I don't know. Who knows? Like, I have no idea. So, like, let's say he's not ready at the beginning of the year. Can you afford to not have Debo? Is it worth having Debo on the team if he's going to play like this? What's his price point? You know, I know he renegotiated some of his guaranteed money and they can get out, but, like, does his number drop significantly? Because there's so much like shadiness when it comes to these cap numbers and what actually hits and when it's going to hit. I have no idea. I know the guy I don't want to lose is George Kittle. Yeah. And George Kittle has got to get somehow re-upped, renegotiated, move the money around, find a way to keep George Kittle on this team long term.
T-Boss, the community note on his tweet, not struggling at all. Just not getting the ball. The community note said he leads the team in drops. He is struggling.
Is that like Wikipedia? Anyone could put that in there? Is that what that is?
Yeah, it's just.
It's not wrong.
He's struggling, man. They're all struggling. This has been a struggle bus. The whole damn team's struggling, but.